You're listening to a session of Come Celebrate, hosted by the Bay Christian Family Church.
Amen. Amen. Come on, you may be seated. Greet somebody. It's great to be around friends. It's great to be around people. Pastor John and I, we live down the road from each other. Other pastors here, we acknowledge you. Great to be with you all. I want to get straight into the Word. We've got very short time, and I want to try and deposit something. I really mean deposit, not just another sermon, another teaching. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 37, and I'm going to get there in a moment. Genesis 37. Pastor Allen made a statement last night, and he said, "Who is Jesus to you?" Well, we all have to meet him first as Lord and Savior. That is the most important part of your relationship. Your eternal destiny is affected by knowing him as Lord and Savior. Matthew 16, the revelation of who Christ is. But then as you journey in life, you begin to experience God in different ways. And there are different facets of God's nature and of God's personality that you experience. I was once diagnosed with cancer. So although I knew him as Savior, in that season of my life, I developed a different aspect of my relationship with God, and I got to experience him as the healer. Every one of us should be doing that. Every one of us should be like Paul prayed, "Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do?" That should be a constant prayer of every Christian, because in different seasons, God is calling you to do certain things. In different seasons, God wants to reveal himself to you in different ways. And sometimes what happens is religion stops us from experiencing what God has for us. Some of you haven't moved in praise and worship in 30 years. Haven't changed a hairstyle. Come on, let's just be honest for a second. I mean, 1994 was a very significant year in our country. First democratic elections. The Bay was established. CRC was established. I got saved in 1994 as well. It's good vintage. But thank God I'm not who I was in 1994. Thank God I'm not who I was in 1993. Thank God we've moved on. Thank God we are growing, and we all should be growing. Because what happens is we get stagnant. What happens is we get comfortable. And sometimes God will use discomfort to challenge you into what he has for you. Because sometimes a stop, an end, is not an end of something. It's just a detour to get you into something better that God has for you. To something that's going to have a bigger impact in others' lives around you. Because we get caught up in this. God bless me. God bless me. God bless me. God do this for me. God do this for me. God do this for me. When Paul had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, "Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do?" It was no longer just about him. And I believe in the blessing. I believe, and I've learned a lot from Apostle Allen regarding that. I believe in prosperity. But if we take purpose out of it, we're in serious trouble, because it becomes religion. You know how conditioned we are to things? Do you see these beautiful preaching cloths? GS. They personalized it here at the Bay. Glenn Schroeder. First time I ever preached it, I was given this and I thought, wow. Can I tell you the truth? I copied it. And I did it for somebody else when they came. When my pastor preached at one of our events, I made him special because I came here. GS. I thought, this is amazing. And the second time I preached, they said, "You know, you took our cloths." I said, "But it had my name on it." They said, no. That means guest preacher, guest speaker. But you see how conditioned we are. You see how conditioned we are about ourselves. GS, Glenn Schroeder, no guest speaker. Selfish me. Every time I come here, I take another cloth. Everything God is doing is around purpose. Everything God is doing is through his church. Ephesians chapter 1, quickly, I'm going to get to Genesis 37, I'm going to be speaking quickly. Ephesians 1 verse 20 from the Message translation, it says this: "All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power, exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever." Listen, it doesn't matter what is happening around us. God is still in control. God still has all authority. God still wants to work through you to bless the city you live in, to bless the nation you live in, to bless the family that you're part of. He's in charge of it all. Has the final word on everything. Watch this. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. Can you not notice that people are trying to put down the church, put down preachers, put down Christians all the time? They're putting them down, criticizing, rumors, lies, damages. The church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church because the church is Christ's body in which He speaks, acts, by which He fills everything with His presence. So whatever God is doing in the earth to do, He's doing it through the church. You can't say you love Jesus, but you don't love the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. The body is the church. I mean, I've got my wife here. We married, I don't know, like it feels like 2 days. We're so in honeymoon, never had a fight, nothing. We're the perfect marriage couple, you know. But I can't go to my wife and say, listen, I love your face. I love your hair. You are so gorgeous, but your body sucks. That marriage is going nowhere. How dumb are we as Christians? I don't need the church. I don't need to be part of the church. I don't need a pastor. I serve God. I was in the gym the other day witnessing to a guy, and he told me, oh, I'm a Christian. I thought, well, I wouldn't have thought so. Oh, no, I have my own relationship with God. I can see that. Not very good. But it's true. Let's stop tiptoeing around the daisies. Trying to please people, trying to keep people happy. You know, somebody said to me, you're not a very nice pastor. And a guy who was very quick next to me said, hey, nice is not a fruit of the Spirit. That guy's a brother for life. That guy's a brother for life. I thought, amen. I can't find nice as a fruit of the Spirit. God hasn't called us to be nice. He's called us to be effective. Yes, we're to love Him and we're to love people. But we've got to get over this business of pussyfooting around people to try and make people happy. We're here to serve God. We're here to populate heaven. We're here to plunder hell. We're here to be radical. We're here to make a difference in this world. Through the church. And you and I make up the church. Well, you know, you're not perfect. You know, you got a tattoo on your arm. Okay, so Jesus had one on His thigh. Ooh, don't go there, Pastor Glenn. No, I am. He had written on His thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, that's just for fun. That's just a stir. Because we focus on the wrong things. While you're criticizing my tattoo, can I ask you a question? How many people have you led to Jesus this year? I brought 7 new people into my church, working with them in the gym, with my silly little tattoos, with my whatevers. I don't like the shorts you wear, or the long pants you wear, or the shoes you wear, or this, or that, or that, or that. Who made you the inspector? Seek first the kingdom of God, like Pastor Allen said, and His righteousness, right standing with God. Then I'm telling you, you're not going to have time to worry about all these little religious games. What does it matter, preacher, post-trip, and your brother is going to hell because you haven't preached the gospel to him? What does it matter? Because when Jesus comes, we're going, and you're still wanting to fight about all these things. We should be educated in the Word. But if our primary function is not to reach our world, we're in serious trouble. It's more difficult in this city, and it's more difficult in that city, and it's more difficult. No, it's not difficult. It's difficult between your ears. I love my pastor. He taught me well. I mean, here's the reality. Let's just be authentic Christians. I'm not talking about defeat. Let's talk authentically. I don't wake up every morning and walk on the water, ask my wife. People somehow think that we live in a bubble here. No, we have real challenges like you. We also went through COVID. We also went through what happened in Durban, the riots. 8 months later, the floods. I'm not glorifying all the damages. Another battle more recently. We also lie at night sometimes not able to sleep because we've got battles. And that's where our faith is tested. That's where our understanding of purpose is tested. Will you still get on a platform and preach hope to people? Will you still minister to people the love of Jesus Christ when you yourself are doubting? Because God will never leave you nor forsake you, but sometimes He's quiet. And sometimes you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. and it makes no sense. You're in the will of God and you get diagnosed with cancer. You're in the will of God and your son or your daughter rebels. You're in the will of God and your business goes through a tough time. You're doing what Christians do and all hell is breaking loose. Well, the Bible says in this world you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Keep running, my brother. Keep running, my sister. Keep serving God, my brother. Keep serving God, my sister. You know what I look in pastors that I follow, the few that I really follow and honor, is the ones that stuck the course, stuck to the course. People that have gone through hell and they're not talking about the hell. They're talking about the goodness of God. I've learned that from my pastor. When he's gone through some stuff, he gets up on a Sunday and he preaches the gospel and preaches hope and preaches revival and preaches fire. And he's not worried for that moment about his own battles, but he's trying to help other people fulfill their destiny in Christ. My message this morning is simple. Because there's a man in the Bible, one of my favorite characters, Joseph. He stayed the course. Because he had a relationship with God, not a religion with God. Then if you're going to look at Genesis 37, I'm going to read part of it very quickly. Verse 1, I'm reading from the easy translation because I don't understand the difficult translation. So it's much easier for me. I went to school in Cape Town. I went to a school that your Afrikaans in matric, we had to learn Afrikaans. To pass it, you had to say, ja, nee. Okay, that's the kind of background I come from. So I'm not very bright. It says in Genesis 37, verse 1, it says, Jacob lived in Canaan, the land where his father had lived. And this is the report about Jacob and his family. Joseph was Jacob's son. He was 17 years old. He took care of his father's sheep and goats. He did this together with his brothers, and these were the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. Sometimes Joseph told his father bad things about his brothers. Don't be a tittletale. If you can't say anything good, shut up. That was for the camera. Jacob loved Joseph more than he loved any of his other sons. Trouble. This was because Joseph was born when Jacob was old, so Jacob made him a special coat. He bought Joseph's coat from Armani, and he gave his other kids from wherever. A.C. Kerman's. I was trying to think of that one. So Jacob made a special coat for Joseph. Joseph's brothers knew that Jacob loved him more. That's not always a good situation than he loved them. So they hated Joseph. There's always going to be people that hate you. Haters hate, lovers love. They could not say anything nice to him. And one night, Joseph had a dream. And he told his brothers about it. And when they heard about Joseph's dream, Joseph's brothers hated him even more than they did before. And Joseph said to his brothers, listen to what happened in my dream. We were out in the field tying the crops together into bundles. Then my bundle stood up. Your bundle stood in a circle around my bundle. And all our bundles bent down to respect my bundle. Joseph's brothers said to him, do you really think that you will be like a king, rule over us like that? And they hated Joseph even more because of what he had told him about his dream. Then Joseph had another dream and he told his brothers about it. And he said, listen to me, I've had another dream. And this is what happened. The sun, the moon, the 11 stars bent down in front of me. And Joseph told his father and his brothers about the dream. Jacob, his father, was angry with him. It's amazing you tell people dreams, greatness, and people get angry with you. And he said to Joseph, you should not tell us about a dream like that. Do you really think I, your mother and your brothers will come and bend down in front of you? Joseph's brothers were very jealous of him. But Jacob thought carefully about what Joseph had said. And the one translation says, and he remembered it. Context, Joseph, father's favorite. Joseph dreams of greatness and significance. Who gives you dreams? Look, I'm not that spiritual that I dream every night, but I have weird dreams. You can ask my wife. Sometimes I have weird dreams. There's this thing and there's a lady dancing in my dream and she's saying my dad's name the whole time. Where do dreams come from? Stress, battles, struggles, God. And inside every one of us, there's a dream of greatness. When you were a kid, I was a kid living in Cape Town. We dreamt in those years of being people that were heroes. As a small boy, we'd play in the sand with a car, and I'm the policeman today, or I'm the fireman today, or I'm the ambulance driver, because in our life at that stage, those people were our heroes. And as you grew up, got old, and you dreamed other dreams, people say, don't dream so big dreams. Don't think so big. You must just get a job in a strong company with a good medical aid and a good pension scheme and stay small and da-da-da-da-da. No, God put greatness inside every one of us. We should be telling our kids to dream greater dreams. But you see, Joseph had two dreams. The one was of greatness and the other was of significance. And they have to marry. For a Christian, greatness and significance have to marry. And Joseph's brothers stripped him of his coat, but they could not strip him of his calling. They stripped him of his gift, but not his gifting. They stripped him of his uniform, but not his position. In other words, no man can prevent God's plan for your life. But I want to show you something. Joseph did not endure the pit, did not endure Potiphar's house, did not endure the prison because he knew he would end up in Pharaoh's palace. He simply remained faithful wherever he found himself because he put God first. Because he prioritized his relationship with God. So the first thing I want you to hear me say this morning, number one, we have to get back, Apostle Allen, to prioritizing relationship, not religion. Relationship, not religion. Relationship, not religion. And I want to say this today. Our relationship with God is all different. There are basic elements. We need to be planted in a local church. There are basic elements. You need to have a pastor. There are basic elements. You need to read the word. There's basic elements. You need to pray the word. You need to worship, etc. But the point is, all of us have a different way that God expresses and speaks to us. Some of you will fall off your chair if I told you how I prepare a sermon. Yeah. You. Yeah. I hear people about this and I hear people do this and I'm thinking like, I'm unsaved. Huh? We're different. God speaks to us differently, in different ways, at different places. The elements are all the same. But we have to prioritize our relationship with God. And sometimes we're going to have to break off the shackles of religion that so easily hops onto us. Yeah, we all know where to go, amen. I said to Pastor John this morning, I said, listen, when I'm preaching, just make it look like I'm good. Either come put money on the platform, if I do an altar call, get saved. Just make it look like I'm doing all right. Thanks. Amen, brother. It's empty. But sometimes we get so caught up. I'm joking, man. I'm joking. No. Take it off the camera. That was a joke. The point I'm trying to get to, listen to me this morning. Somebody else does something, so we do it. Religion. The first time I went to church after I got saved. No, relax. No, I'm joking. No, help me. The first time I go to church, I see people lifting their hands. I want to do it. So I've got my hands in my pockets like this. Eventually, my jeans are up here somewhere because I want to do it, but I can't do it because I don't understand why they're doing it. Now we all do it, but we don't understand why somebody else is doing it. We can say some Christian terms and some of you won't know what they mean. Huh? How many of you know that I failed the module on glossolalia? Who knows what glossolalia is? I'm going to let you think about it. Religion. When they asked me in my Bible studies, how did you experience being baptism in the Holy Ghost, the Bible school I was in, I told them I fell down under the power and I began praying in strange tongues. And we don't believe in that, naught. Glossolalia is the doctrine of tongues. Well, eschatology. Eschatology, how's it going to help you? We get so caught up in words. Hallelujah, what does that mean? Most people in church don't know what hallelujah means. They know here at the Bay that they do know. You're well educated here at the Bay. But what I'm trying to get to is we can get so caught up in religion. Let's prioritize God's presence. Who are you, Lord? What are you saying to me now in 2024? What do you want me to do now, God? How do you want me to serve now? Where can I make a difference now? Each one of us can reach our world. Each one of us sitting here this morning can reach our world. Each one of us can bring somebody to church tonight. And when Apostle Thea, is Apostle Thea tonight? Awesome. Does the altar call, many get saved. But we can't save an empty chair. Who's God working through? The saints. So number one, your relationship with God. I mean, I was raised in the church. There's something wrong with this clock, I promise you. Every time I preach, it goes quicker. Okay, I'll be done. I promise you. I was raised in the church, but I had no relationship with God. Joseph developed his relationship with God in the dark places. He didn't stop serving God in the pit. He didn't stop serving God in Potiphar's house. He didn't stop serving God in the prison. Circumstances shouldn't reflect and shouldn't determine your relationship with God. Good things can happen in the pit. Good things can happen in the pot. Good things can happen in the prison. Good things can happen in the palace. Good things can happen in the dark places of your life because God is in the business of taking what was negative and turning it around for your good, for His glory, to save many people alive. So number one, you have to prioritize His presence. Number two, this morning, you have to prioritize His promises. Now, I can't recite the word from Genesis through to Revelation in Hebrew, Greek, and Portuguese. I can't do it. I'm not good at that. I'm not that bright. But I can get revelation of certain scriptures in my life that can sustain me for the rest of my life. A good friend once said to me, he said, "You're quite a boring preacher. You're good but boring." I said, "Why?" He said, "I know exactly what you're going to preach before you preached it." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You're going to preach about three things every time." I think sometimes people like Auntie Laurie are going to get a bigger reward than all the TV preachers, etc., because she made an impact that we'll never know the impact that it has on everybody else's life. He said to me, "No matter what scripture you use, you're going to talk about three things." I said, "Oh, what are the three things?" He says, "God's presence, God's promises, and God's purpose." I thought, that's not a bad thing. Maybe the rest of my life, if that's what all I do, great. Somebody that hears me is going to understand. Number one, we have to prioritize God's presence. That means seek God first. Seek God first. Seek God first. Secondly, we have to prioritize His promises, which talks about the Word. We need to become Word people. Not to quote over other people, so that we know how to stand in a trial. That's why I want to say this today quickly, and time really doesn't allow too much, but I want to say this. It's critical that you are planted in a local church. I thank God that I have had one pastor for the last 25 years. When I had cancer, He spoke a word of my life. What the enemy intends for your harm, God's going to turn around for good. I didn't even know at that stage it was Genesis 50. But I used to quote that scripture, get to know the promise of God, quote it, quote it, quote it, till it went from here to a revelation here. So when I faced COVID, every morning I would boldly declare what the enemy intended for my harm, God is going to turn around for the good, for my good, for His glory, to save many people alive. Purpose. I would quote it. When we were ransacked in the riots, which I was, went through hell and back, the same thing, I would declare it. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What the enemy intended for my harm, God is going to turn around for my good and for His glory to save many people alive. When we went through the floods 8 months later, I would say the same thing. I used to talk to Pastor John. Sorry, we had conversations because we encouraged each other many times. And he would say to me, "Glenn, put the past behind you. And you've got to replace the past with the present, which is the Word of God." It's not a theory, man. It's not a religion. I remember when Pastor Janine went through her stuff. And I only found out afterwards. I think we still had a telephone call. And Pastor Allen just said to me, "I had to fight this with the Word." I kept very quiet. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. We need to prioritize His presence. We need to prioritize His promises. So we need to know the Word, but the Word's going to become a revelation. A revelation. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I started quoting and fighting with the doctor. "By His stripes, I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed." But you know what I was saying? I was saying the right thing. Whenever I give my testimony, people go, "Wow, what a spiritual man." But the truth be told, I was in fear. I knew God loved me, but I didn't know if God was going to heal me. I knew God saved me, but I didn't know if God was going to heal me. But I would quote the scripture till the scripture became a revelation. We need to make a priority of the Word. And then what I want to emphasize as I close, it has to be about His purpose. That dream of greatness had to become about a dream of significance. And Joseph goes on his journey. And eventually, those two dreams collide. Genesis 42 verse 8 says, "So Joseph recognized his brothers, but that they did not recognize him." It's possible that God can take you on a journey and do such a transformational work in your life that people from your past don't recognize you in your future. Because Joseph's journey taught him how to love and how to forgive. Because it's your relationship with God that leads you out of that pit and into the palace. And then Joseph interprets the dreams of the Egyptians. And guess what? They got saved too. Here's what I want to get to. I'm going to close with Genesis chapter 50, verse 18. Last scripture, 2 minutes and I'm done. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." Verse 19, and Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted him and spoke kindly to him. Here's what you got to hear. Joseph, through his journey and relation with God, suddenly realized there's a greater purpose for my struggle. I read this once, and it blew me out the water. Psalm 105, verse 17, I think it says, it talks about what the Israelites went through, and it says, God sent a man before them, Joseph by name. His brothers thought it was them, but God was actually orchestrating something. You're going through something, but God is already orchestrating something on the other side, because there's purpose attached to it. His brothers came to him because they thought that he would now bring retribution against them because his father had died. And he says, whoa, guys, you don't understand this whole process. What you meant for evil, God was preparing for good. He was turning around for good. Watch this. To save many people alive. Purpose. And that's something that is lacking in the church, because what kept me in the race was being planted in the local church. What kept me in the race was having a pastor that at times of weakness I could ride on his face. What kept me in the race was all the time I spent in the word and praying. But what kept me in the race was purpose. Because at the end of the day, somebody asked me, why did we fly back into the riots? Because you're a leader and your strength is needed. And your witness is needed, and your testimony is needed. I'm going to say it again. When Joseph interpreted the dreams of the Egyptians were saved too. Our lives have a purpose, and we must never limit God by prescribing to who we share the gospel with. Let me say this, 20 seconds. This last week, we celebrated the Passover weekend. And I want to declare over you that there is no obstacle that God cannot remove out of your life. That he turns what seems like tragedy into triumph. What looked like death and defeat, he turned into victory. And God will take what the enemy meant for your evil, if you allow him to, and turn it for your good, for his glory, for his purpose, to save many people alive. So we will prioritize his presence. We will prioritize his promises. We will prioritize his purpose for his glory, in Jesus' name. And if you agree with me, jump to your feet and give God a greatest clap of praise. Oh, come on, we can do it this morning. The greatest clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. He's good, man. Make the devil mad. While you're in the pit, while you're in the prison, while you're in the pot, you are going to praise God like never before. You're going to break those shadows and roll away those tombstones for his glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.